أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صلوات. My respected elders, brothers and sisters, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So far we have been looking at this spiritual warrior and the fuel of love and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ashaddu hubban lillah, and looking at how we can start to get this love. We came to the conclusion by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we looked at some ways which can allow us to get closer to Allah by knowing Him, and thus loving Him even more. Yesterday we looked at one of the hindrances which prevents us from allowing that love of Allah to fully flourish in our hearts, that being our attachment and our foolishness by being lured by this, the negative aspect of this world. And then we also examined the previous day about spending time in solitude in order to arm ourselves and get that broadband connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yesterday we also gave our mujahid, our spiritual warrior, some armor by the name of taqwa, the spiritual defense and immunization against the disease of sins and attachment to this world. Today, the subject that we want to deal with is of probably the most important subject. It is so important that I feel maybe I'm not worthy to even talk about it. Now we want to give our spiritual warrior a chant. When one goes into battle, they have to have a chant, something to urge them on, something to give them that confidence. And this spiritual warrior's chant is the dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. We've spoken about the lover of Allah, and we've hinted and indicated, and we've seen that his heart is always occupied by the remembrance of Allah. This is the preoccupation of the qalb, of the lover of Allah. So we want to look now at this philosophy of dhikrullah, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we've been doing in previous discussions, we first go and look at the Holy Quran and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this concept of dhikr. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اُذْكُرُ اللَّهِ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. He says, remember Allah as a command. اُذْكُرُ is a command, and a command in the plural sense, so a command to everybody. اُذْكُرُ اللَّهِ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. He says, remember Allah with a thorough remembrance, a lot. He's emphasized it by saying كَثِيرًا, ذِكْر twice in the same sentence. So he's asking us to remember him a lot. So this is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually seeks it from us. When we look at other verses of the Holy Quran, another verse which we read, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, talking to you and me again, La tulhikum amwalukum wa awladakum an dhikrillah. That do not allow your family, your wealth, to take you away from the remembrance of Allah. You know, we get preoccupied with our daily situations, our family responsibilities, our work. That's not a bad thing. It's our responsibility. We have to deal with it. But Allah is telling us, don't allow it to remove you from my remembrance, though. Don't allow it to remove it from my remembrance. So again, we're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. Not even our family is supposed to take us away from the remembrance of Allah. And then there's one verse in Surah Ali Imran which we hear quite often actually. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. He says, verily in the creations of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day are signs for those who possess the heart of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he carries on, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. To explain who are the ulul albab, he says, those who remember Allah, qiyaman, standing, wa qu'udan, and while they're sitting, wa ala junubihim, and even when they're lying down, wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, and they ponder and reflect on the wonderful creation of this heavens and the earth. So Allah is telling us that the one who remembers, it's so beautiful. He's saying he's not just kept a specific time. He says when you're standing, when you're sitting, and even when you're lying down, relaxing, man. Now you know, in Islam, even when you go to the toilet, forgive me for talking like this, we're supposed to remember Allah. It's something that sometimes we think, oh, we're going to the loo, that we should not remember Allah. This is a, you know, a place which is, you know, no. In fact, it's mustahab. Highly recommended to remember Allah when we go. There's so many things. If we look, there's du'as, there's step in with your left foot, step out with your right foot. Because Allah says in the Holy Quran, huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, that He is with you wherever you are. So even when we go to the washroom. So this is the Allah is trying to inculcate in us and instill us that lie down, even in those times. This is the people who are ulul albab, those who possess those hearts. They remember me. Another verse, he says here now, he's saying to you and me, he's asking a question, he's posing a question. He says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. He's saying, has the time not come, O my believers? Has the time not come now for you to have awe of me in your hearts and remember me? How long can we carry on in our life where we are in negligence and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is saying to us, has not the time come now, my brothers and sisters, that you should now remember me after all that I have given you, after everything that I have taken you through? Again, Allah is posing us a question for us to reflect about. So here we see this concept of dhikr being amply spoken about in the Holy Quran in so many different ways. Now this one is very soothing when we look at this next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. He says, remember me, and I will remember you in turn. So this is very soothing for us, that when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is remembering us. Now when Allah remembers us, when He's saying, I'll remember you, it doesn't mean that He's forgetting us otherwise in that sense. It means He will give us extra special attention, extra special care. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. And then He carries on and He says, وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And then He commands us again to thank Him and not be of the ungrateful ones. Now look how merciful our Lord is, my brothers and sisters. When He says, thank me, thanking Allah is for our own benefit, man. He says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you thank me, I will increase for you. This is like a natural law that Allah has placed in existence and in His way that He deals with His creatures, that if we thank Him and when we thank Him, He will increase for us. How more merciful can you get than that? So here we see Allah is now trying to build a relationship with you and me by saying, remember me and I will remember you. Now this one we hear all the time. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those who believe and they soothe and bring satisfaction and peace to their hearts by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. That is it not with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find that tranquility and serenity? So by Allah saying this in the Holy Quran, He is now limited that tranquility and serenity that we all look for, that peace of heart that we all seek in our lives, to His remembrance. To His remembrance. So those times, I mean, think about it in our lives. Whenever we have experienced times in the month of Ramadan, times in the month of Muharram, or maybe any time in the year when you've had a certain thing, a situation, and you've remembered Allah especially, that it gives us that contentment and peace of heart. And we've tasted that, we wish we could taste that all the time. Because this is the key to the remembrance, to the contentment in the heart, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I could stop here and this would be enough for us to know the importance of it, but I'm going to go on because there's even more. Here he has a very interesting one which is very, very compatible with our philosophy and our discussion for this entire Muharram. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, again addressing us, the believers, إِذَا لُقِيتُمْ فِئَةً, if you face an enemy in an army in war, إِذَا لُقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَثْبُتُوا, then hold firm and steadfast. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remember Allah a lot. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be victorious. Now we've discussed that this inner struggle, this spiritual warfare that we're going, is also a war. And our enemies are shaitan and that lower self of us that drives us towards evil. So this is an army that we face, the army of shaitan. So Allah is saying, hold firm and remember me a lot. Now this is the chant, as I said, of the spiritual warrior. Everybody needs a chant to urge them along. And our chant is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm going to top off this Quranic discussion of these verses with one verse in the Holy Quran, which just sums it all up. I could have come and sat here and just said this verse, and we could have finished up nicely in 1 minute. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah says that definitely the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. The greatest thing is the remembrance of Allah. And if we think about our devotions, our ibadat, everything that Allah has asked us to do, it's all to direct us to His remembrance. Every single thing, every act, salah, song, hajj, fasting, all directed to the remembrance of Allah. So Allah is telling us now that there is nothing greater than my remembrance. And this verse is enough to inculcate the importance of this concept of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when we move on to the riwayat, and boy, there's a lot of riwayat. Our Holy Prophet says, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد لا تختارن على ذكر الله شيئا. He says, now again, emphasis in Arabic, I can't emphasize it enough in English, I'm really sorry. But he says, do not even think or do never, ever, ever choose anything over the dhikrullah. Never prefer anything over dhikr of Allah. Why? Because he says in the Holy Quran, he says, فَإِنَّهُ يَقُولُ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the dhikr of Allah is the greatest. So the Holy Prophet is saying, don't even try and choose anything over the remembrance of Allah. Now I don't want to go through all and recite to you every single riwayah word by word. Now just a quick thing here. Why do I recite these riwayah to you in Arabic? I could just bust it in English and finish in half the time. But the reason why we listen to these words in Arabic is because these words are the same words that flowed from the tongues of our Holy Prophet and our Holy Imams. So to bring them out here is something very, very important. When we listen to those words, it shakes, it does something to us when we listen to them in Arabic, because this is the way they even came out from those blessed pathways. So in the riwayat we look, dhikrullah has been called qutun nufus, a storage for the souls, a provision for the souls. Nurul Qulub, a light for the heart. Hayatun lil Qalb, a life for the heart. Just think about these. A life for the heart. It brings a dead heart to life. Even a dead one. Miftahul Uns, it is the key. It opens up intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what we all seek. Mujalasatul Mahbub, dhikrullah is having a gathering with your beloved. When you remember. Now again, I bring it back to the example of being in love. Being in love. We said the guy can't eat or the woman can't eat when they're in love. They can't sleep. What else? They can't talk about anyone else except their beloved. They can't think about anything else except their beloved. This is dhikrullah, the state of the lover of Allah. He's engulfed and enraptured by the remembrance of his beloved. So we go on. Now this one is the big one here. Matradatun lishaytan. Dhikr of Allah is matradatun lishaytan, which means it throws away and outcasts shaytan. Now isn't that what we all look for? Isn't that what we all pray for in the beginning of the month of Ramadan? Month of Muharram. To outcast shaytan. That when we are in the remembrance of Allah, it is a fortress where shaytan cannot penetrate. Matradatun lishaytan. Very essential words here. And we look at the Holy Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانُ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. That the one who forgets or becomes neglectful of the remembrance of the Rahman, a shaytan is there. An open access for shaytan. Now this is why when we are not in the remembrance of Allah is when we tend to go into those negative things and disobey Allah and whatnot. But if we're in the remembrance of Allah, how can shaitan come? How can shaitan come? Impossible. When we are actually in the remembrance of Allah with full presence. Impossible. So it is true, logically even, when we say that dhikrullah is matradatun li shaitan, is something that outcasts shaitan. And this is something essential for the spiritual warrior who's on this path to defeat his enemies and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, there's one verse in the Holy Quran which is very, very nice. It shows you and me that this kind of thing is possible in this day and age, in North Harrow, in London, wherever we live, with the kind of lives that we lead. Allah says in the Holy Quran, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةً وَلَا بَيْعًا عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That men. And when he says men, he doesn't mean not women, okay? He says men who do not let transactions and business and sales take them away from the remembrance of Allah. So by Allah putting this in the Holy Quran, he's saying this is something that stands from all time. That is possible for us, even with our busy lives, even when we go to work, even when we're, you know, doing whatever we do, to be not neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ali al-Islam, he has a khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha which explains the meaning of this verse. And I'm not going to read you the whole khutbah, but I'm just going to say the first couple of lines which he says. He says, truly Allah has made the remembrance of Allah a polish for the hearts. Jala'an lil qulub. Look at this. What a beautiful statement. You know, when you polish something, removes all the dirt, and then what does it do? It shines it up nicely. Mr. Muscle, you know? Shines it up nicely. This is what the dhikr of Allah does for our hearts, which accumulates the rust of forgetfulness of Allah, the rust of attaching itself to this world. So dhikr of Allah is like a polish for the hearts, Imam Ali alayhi salam says. And then he moves on, which by after polishing their heart, they hear after being deaf, and they see after being blind, and they yield after restraining. Now even you and me may think that, okay, we can see, you know. No, but Imam Ali al-Islam is talking about different levels here. When he says, Imam Ali al-Islam says that there's nothing that I've been across whereby I see Allah before it, Allah in it, and Allah after it. This is the kind of vision Imam Ali al-Islam is talking about. Where we can actually begin to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more clearer. We can hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from within. Much more clearer with this powerful ultimate tool of dhikrullah. So here Imam Ali, now there's a very nice, now Musa, when we look at Musa alayhi salam, this guy would always talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa would always converse with Allah. If you look, there's a lot of hadith al-Qudsi, which is hadith which are Allah's words but that have come through the Prophet other than the divine scriptures. So when we said yesterday, for example, Allah says, Ya Isa, you know, when that blue-eyed woman came as the dunya. This is Hadith al-Qudsi. Now, there's one Hadith al-Qudsi with Musa. Musa says, he says to Allah, "Oh Allah." Now, the Imam is probably narrating this, that Musa said to Allah, he says, "Oh Allah, أَبَعِيدٌ أَنْتَ فَأُنَادِيكَ." Oh Allah, are you far away from me that I should call to you? أَوْ قَرِيبٌ أَنْتَ فَأُنَاجِيكَ. Or are you near to me, oh Allah, that I should whisper to you? So Musa, he is enraptured by Allah, and he's just totally bewildered by this love, that he wants to know, how can I get in touch with you, oh Allah? Through calling loudly, is that what you want? Is that better for me? Or should I whisper? So what does Allah say to him? Allah says to him, أَنَا جَلِيسٌ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. That I am one. In Arabic again, Jalis means somebody who sits very, very close to you. Very close to you. Not Jalis. Jalis is somebody who sits with you. Jalis is somebody who sits too close to you. أَنَا جَلِيسٌ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. I am the one who sits very close to the one who remembers me. Now how reassuring is that for you and me? When we go to school and we face problems, man. When we go to university and there's difficulties. When we're at work and we're having a tough day. And when we're just sitting at home and bored. How reassuring is that for you and me? It's something for us to all think about. Now, last one before we move on to see what the du'as have to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says through the imams, he says, "Man ahabba shay'an lahija bi dhikrihi." That one who loves something, if you love something, you will be fervently dedicated to remembering it. So this is how we see this relationship between Allah and His servant. That when that little love that we may have, or even it may be great, is enough to drive us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that respect and capacity that we love Him with. So now we're all starting to feel that we need to start remembering Allah. This dhikrullah, boy, it's a good hobby to take up. You know? Now the du'as. Our du'as, again, are replete with this concept of dhikrullah. You know? What do we say? Look, just at the beginning I said, you know, broadband connection with Allah through the solitude in this. Well, you know what I'm going to say now, maybe? That now we're looking for wireless here. This is wireless. Wherever you are, you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the WC. Wireless connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the du'as, munajat of the dhakirin, in Sahifat al-Sajjadeh, I go back to those 15 whispered prayers that these are so intimate, actually intimate conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's one for the rememberers. And in this thing we say here, in Imam Zain al-Abidin says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Min a'azami ni'am alayna jaryanu dhikrika ala al-sinatina. That from the greatest bounties, O Allah, that you have bestowed on us, is the flowing of your remembrance on our tongues. That this dhikrullah that Allah so wants us to do, and it's actually a bounty for us to be able to do the dhikr of Allah. And then he carries on and he says, wa idnuka lana bidu'aik. And you've also, another great bounty is that you've given us the permission to do dua to you, to pray to you, to invoke you. This is what we need to sit and think. This is actually, even though it's my own benefit, it's a blessing to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what do we say, Dua Kumail? Every day, somehow we find something from Dua Kumail. This is such a comprehensive dua with all the teachings contained within it. We say, وَاجْعَلْ لِسَانِي بِذِكْرِكَ lahija. Oh Allah, make my tongue constant and fervent with your remembrance. This is what we pray for in Dua Kumail. وَقَلْبِ بِحُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمًا. After that we say, in our hearts, may it beat with your love. So we see this concept is spread throughout our entire the corpus of teachings that we have. And what else do we say in Dua Kumail at the end? Ya man ismuhu dawa wa dhikruhu shifa. We say, oh, one whose name is a dawa is a medicine. And his remembrance, wa dhikruhu, shifa, is a healing. Subhanallah. I just want to take you to a story now. There's one guy in this town who falls drastically ill. And he's been and he's seen all these doctors. And the doctors are not able to do anything for him. They say, no, he's going to die, there's nothing. It's terminal, finished. So his family go and they find the sheikh. This old sheikh, you know. Now this sheikh has a certain knowledge of the names of Allah, where he is known to that he can heal people with these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they bring him round, the guy's in bed, you know. And these doctors are still there. So the guy's like, the doctors are like, you know, who's this? He says, oh, this is the sheikh, you know, he has this knowledge. So, what's he going to do? He says, he has knowledge of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he knows how to heal. And they start laughing, you know, they say, well, we've tried everything, you know, what's these names going to do? So this sheikh looks at them and he says, you foolish donkeys! So these guys are what? You know, their image is tainted here. They go red. They change their state. How dare you insult me like that, foolish donkeys? You know? So the sheikh says to them, look, just by me saying this word donkey, it's changed your physical state. Your faces have gone red. You've been in shock. You think by me saying the names of Allah that it's not going to affect this man here? You know? Just trying to get them to maybe realize there's something there. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very powerful and they do have healing properties. Now, I just want to see why these names of Allah, the names. We mentioned about the names a few times as we've gone along in this series. In the Quran, when Allah again asks us to remember Him, He says, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. He says, remember the name of your Lord and devote to Him an utter devotion. Elsewhere He says, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Remember the name of your Lord in the morning and in the evening. So Allah is instructing us to remember His names here. These 99 beautiful names, the Asma'ul Husna, through which we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So this dhikr that I've been mentioning about is something that we can just take a name of Allah. Choose a name that you feel an affinity with. Ya Kareem, O the kind one. Ya Wadood, O the ever loving one. Choose a name and start to recite this name. And by reciting this name, it will start to help us activating this trait within us of being loving if we take Al-Wadood, or generous if we take Al-Kareem. But it requires us to reflect before you remember it. If I just start doing this, you know, suddenly I'll be thinking, yeah, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem, you know, did Liverpool win last night or whatever, you know, which is a disgrace to that name, unfortunately, you know. So we have to reflect before we do the name. Ya Kareem, what does it mean? It means generous. What does it mean? The one who gives. That means I have to give to others. I have to give to Allah from myself. Like this. And then start doing Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem. And your heart will beat Ya Kareem, Ya Kareem. Like this. Because there's two types of dhikr. Dhikr al-lisani, dhikr of the tongue. Which is to indicate to the dhikr of the qalb, of the heart. Which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us ultimately, this dhikr in our heart. So Allah says about these names in the Holy Quran, He says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And Allah has the beautiful names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So call Him by them. So when you say Ya Kareem, for example, you're calling Allah, O Kareem. So it is a dua at the same time as a remembrance. So this is just now to indicate to us that this is how we can start refining ourselves. Now the other day I spoke about these traits that we have and these vices and all these sins and all this rut that we're in. Well, imagine this as a tree and they have branches and leaves. Now each branch is a vice that we have. You know, one here is arrogance. You know, one is cowardice. Cowardice is a vice. Now, if we want to burn, we want to root break this tree, one way is to chop it from the branches and hack it from the trunk. But with the dhikr of Allah, we burn the tree from the root. We burn it from the root. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Aslu silah al qalb ishtighalu bi dhikrillah. That the origin and the beginning of reforming the heart is being occupied with the remembrance of Allah. So this will clean our heart, we'll burn that tree at the roots with this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just interestingly enough, about this calling Allah by His names, you know, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man. You know, there's a nice story. This guy studies with this sheikh a few years. He's been studying for 30 years out in the mountain, in the bush. And now he thinks to himself, you know, sheikh, 30 years we've been studying together. I would like to go back to my people and teach them what I've learnt from you now. You know? So the sheikh, you know, people think that, you know, he studied 2-3 years. Over there they study for 30 years, man, you know. So anyway, this guy says, I want to go back to my people now and teach them what I've learnt from you. So the sheikh says, okay, I have to ask you a question and test you first to see if you're ready. So he says, okay, ask me. He says, it's not from the Holy Quran, this question. It's not from the Holy Quran. He says, let me ask you first, before I ask you the question. When you, on your way home, will you pass some pastures where there's cattle grazing and there's shepherds and all this? He says, yes. He says, okay. He says, well, if you're walking back home, and as you're passing this pasture, 5 dogs come and attack you. Sheep dogs. 5 of them come and attack you. What will you do? So my man here says, wow, I'll pick up a stone and I'll throw it at the dogs. So the sheikh says to him, well, you probably hit one of them maybe, you know, 2. What about the others? He says, I'll pick up a stick and I'll wave it around and I'll, you know, ward them off. So the sheikh says, well, again, back to my first point, maybe you ward 2-3, you know, off, but what about the others? So the guy stuck him, man, for an answer. So he says, oh sheikh, I realize I'm not ready. But please tell me the answer to this question. So he says, all you need to do is call the shepherd who's in charge of those dogs. And he'll just call their names and they'll come back to him. So see, sometimes in life we forget. This is to tell us that we forget to call Allah even sometimes. We try to deal with the situation at hand. But we need to call just the guy who's the shepherd, in charge of the whole plan. And he'll take care of our situation. I think this is a beautiful parable for us. Now we've equipped our spiritual warrior with armor. He's not in his t-shirt anymore. We've equipped him with a chant. So now he's confident. He's connected wirelessly to his master. But man, I think we should give the spiritual warrior a weapon too, don't you? Otherwise he doesn't really look like a warrior. So what's the weapon of the spiritual warrior? When we go to the riwayat, it says, Ad-du'a silahul mu'min. Du'a is the weapon of the believer. It is the weapon of the believer. And notice, in Arabic, we have a kaf of tashbih. Assalamu alaikum. Kaf of tashbih is to indicate similarity. We're not saying that du'a is like the weapon of the believer. We're saying a du'a is the weapon of the believer. So it is a weapon that this spiritual warrior has. Spiritual warrior has the weapon of du'a. Now also, again in the riwayat, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسِلَاحِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. We are urged by our imams to adopt the weapon of the prophets. So they were asked, oh imam, what is the weapon of the prophet? A du'a. Du'a. Now we see when Musa always talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the smallest things. You know, sometimes we think that I should pray, you know, to Allah, but you know, I can't bother him too much, man. He must think I'm, you know, I ask him for too much. Oh, I shouldn't ask him for this. This is so insignificant. I could take care of this myself. This is sometimes how we tend to think. But when we go to the riwayat, the Prophet says, ask even for the laces of your shoes. He tells Musa, ask even for the grass for your cattle to graze, and for the salt for your food. Because He loves to hear your voice and mine when we call Him and we talk to Him. And we've just seen with the dhikr of how this is all linked together, this remembrance and invocation. When we call Allah with His names, Ya Rahman, Ya Kareem, it is also an invocation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Baqir alayhi salam says to aid this, he says, La tuhaqqiru saghiran min hawa'ijikum. Don't deem insignificant your needs. He says, فَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. For verily, the most beloved of Allah's believers in His eyes, أَسْأَلَهُمْ, are the ones who ask Him the most. You know, we're here that sometimes our hajat are delayed because Allah wants to hear us call Him. This is such a beautiful, now we're seeing, it's opening out to us that this is the love relationship, ultimate love relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we've looked at, you know, Quran, we looked at riwayat, we looked at du'as, we looked at this concept of the names of Allah, we looked at the, you know, this du'a, the weapon, spiritual warriors fully equipped now. That let's look at some poetry and sayings. You know, Maulana Rumi, Jalaluddin, talks so much about this concept of dhikrullah. And some of the ways he's put it are very beautiful, which allow us to understand it in a different way sometimes. He says, a naked man jumped into the water to escape the stings of hornets. So this man who has no protection, even clothing, jumps into the water to save himself from these hornets which are trying to sting him. The hornets circle around him when he shows his head from the water. He's in the water. So when he shows his head, they do not let him go. They're always there. The water, he says, is Allah's remembrance. So this water that he's jumped in is Allah's remembrance. And right now the hornets are the remembrance of this woman or that man. So he's saying these hornets are those, you know, flitter brain thoughts that he has about different things, about different situations, different people. He says, hold your breath in the water of remembrance and be patient so that you may be freed from old thoughts and inward whisperings. So he's saying, asking us to hold our breath in this water of remembrance so that these hornets of inward whisperings and extra thoughts do not affect us. After that, you will gain totally the nature of that pure water from head to foot. Elsewhere he says, in the outside world, wind sets a tree in motion. Imagine when wind comes to a tree, the tree starts to bristle from side to side. In the inside, now that's in the outside world. He says, in the inside, remembrance rustles the leaves of the heart's tree. So our hearts start to move and become activated with the wind of remembrance. And lastly from Rumi he says, if you mention his name in the depths of a well, and now he's relating this to the example of Yusuf alayhi salam, if you mention his name in the depths of the well, he will make the well's depths the summit of paradise. Subhanallah. An extreme. The depths of the well can become the summit of paradise. If we're in the depths of our life, down and out, we see no way out, take the remembrance of Allah and we'll be at the summit of paradise. Now just some couple of other sayings from different religions now, that this concept of remembering God is there all the way through. In one anonymous European text on the alchemical tradition, there's a very beautiful saying. It says, we must arm ourselves against our spiritual foes with spiritual weapons such as the word of God. Beautiful. Now we look at some Hindu, Swami Sivananda. He says, devotees of the mere repetition of his name destroy the mighty army of ignorance. Exactly what we've been talking about. Another one, knowing that his past actions, meaning the spiritual warrior, knowing that his past actions may try to overwhelm him, this devotee must be prepared to combat them. God will give him the strength. His name will be an impenetrable armor. It will save him from all consequences. And lastly, we go to the Bible, Acts of John. O God, that art God above all that are called gods, so called, at whose name every idol fleeth, and every evil spirit and unclean power. Matradatun lishaytan. Matradatun lishaytan, as we said. So now when we go and we look on that plain of Ashura, on that plain of Karbala, we see Imam Hussein alayhi salam was engulfed by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his sayings every step of the way. As he came to Karbala, the first thing he turned to Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karbi wal-bala. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from calamity. When his people went down, immediately he would turn to Allah. His words reflect his inner state. If Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't have that contentment and soothing in his heart with the name of Allah, he wouldn't be able to bear all these things. Remember the verse we took about facing the army. Allah says, "Udhkurullaha kathira." This is what they did on that day. And this is why they were able to go in so bravely. And then finally, Imam tells his army, the army of Yazid, he says to them on that day, "Laqad istahwadha alaykum ash-shaytan فَأَنْسَاكُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ." That shaitan, you have allowed him to overpower you and overcome you, and he has made you forget the dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, the great remembrance of Allah, and whatever you seek. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allows us now to adopt this powerful, ultimate tool, this chant of the warrior, so that we remain wirelessly connected to him. And the best way for us to pray is using a small portion of the dua, the munajat of the rememberers, al-dhakirin, where Imam Zain al-Abidin says, "Ilahi, O our Lord, O my Lord, alhimna bidhikrika, inspire us with your remembrance, fil khala'i wal mala', when I am in a crowd and when I am on my own, وَاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and in the night time and in the daytime, وَفِي الْإِعْلَانِ وَالْإِسْرَارِ, and openly and secretly, وَالْهِمْنَا بِذِكْرِ الْخَفِيِّ, and O Allah, inspire us with that remembrance of the heart, that silent special remembrance. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Ahsan Tabas. We can take questions now from the sisters and brothers' side. We start as usual with the sisters. If there are any questions, if they can address them, please.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. When you say dhikrullah, does it have to be verbal, or can it be a silent thought or conversation with Allah?
Silent conversation is acceptable. Silent conversation, verbal. The silent remembrance of Allah actually is the highest form of remembrance. When Allah is there in our hearts, we remember Him. But the verbal we do to inculcate that within our hearts, that chant that we do, we say the names loudly so that it starts to bring up that remembrance in the heart. But remembering Allah silently is fine. Making a dua, even from your heart, without even saying it on your lips, is a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really. So that's commendable, in fact.
From the brother's side.
Assalamu alaikum, boss. Thank you for your lecture. I just wanted to ask what it actually means to remember the name of Allah. Because, I don't know, to me it seems to indicate something behind the name. It says, is it Udhkur Isma Rabbik? And we say Bismillah. I was wondering, does it mean remember a name of Allah? Or what is it trying to get at, please, if you could?
We looked at the two verses, the Ismu Rabbik and also Walillahi al-Asma'il Husna. So Allah has these names, the beautiful names. So from there we concluded that we can take those names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا Allah commands us that call him by those names. So any one of those names. Now the philosophy behind this is to inculcate the attributes that these names talk about within us. When we, like I said, Ya Kareem, so that we inculcate and we become Kareem, like Allah is Kareem. Obviously not to the extent of Allah, but a trait we adopt that Allah, we have riwayat that says, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ They adopt the character traits of Allah. You know, in Islam, just to go on from this quickly, because it's very important now that you mentioned it, that we have fadailul akhlaq and makarimul akhlaq. Fadailul akhlaq are the basic courtesies that we know in society. You know, not lying, you know, being kind, allowing, helping an old lady cross the street. Now we see that even a kafir, a non-believer, can have this fadailul akhlaq, these courtesies. So what is when the Prophet comes and he says, Inni bu'ithtu li'utammim makarimul akhlaq, that I have been sent down to you to complete the most excellent akhlaq, the super akhlaq if you like. This super akhlaq is adopting the character traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet, when the Imams say, Wallah, nahnu wallah asma'ul husna, that by Allah we are the names of Allah, what do they mean? When they say we are the names of Allah, what they are saying is we are the manifestations of the names of Allah. We have all the names of Allah activated within us. So when you see Imam Ali alayhi salam, sometimes he's in the mosque in a corner praying to Allah, he's manifesting a certain name. But when you see him on the battlefield, he's manifesting Al-Qahhar, the conqueror, the name of Allah, the conqueror. So the Imams had, and the Prophet, of course, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested. Our goal to reach the perfect akhlaq is to manifest these traits within us through adopting these names as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that shed a bit of light on this, inshallah.
Could I just clarify then? For example, you know, it was saying, remember the name of Allah in the morning and in the evening. So for example, if you remember the mercy of Allah, this is what it's alluding to, is it?
Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, we can remember him with his names, but just remembering Allah, like right now we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in a gathering of the dhikr of Allah, where Allah is being remembered. So this is also remembering Allah in that way too. But the ultimate is through his names. And he has commanded us and asked us to call him through these names.
Any questions from the sister's side?
Sheikh, I want to take up the same point. When we say continuous dhikr, so if we look at the lives of the prophets and the imams, and in the context of their lives, when we say that they were in continuity of the dhikr of Allah, what would they be? I mean, every moment. I mean, for example, if they were involved in trade, I mean, would they be sort of remembering Allah, some kind of Allah's attributes in their heart continuously? For example, if I'm sitting at my desk and I'm solidly involved in my work, I mean, hardly some kind of a dhikr comes into my mind. Suddenly, if I remember, okay, some dhikr comes, but most of the time I don't have any kind of dhikr in my mind. So when you say continuous, is that what you mean, that we should have some kind of dhikr in our mind continuously, although we are concentrating on our work? Is that?
See, there's different levels of dhikr. Okay, there's different levels of dhikr. Now, for us, let's say going to work and doing my work, and actually I'm doing it with the intention of getting closer to Allah, of earning for my family. So that's one level of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I'm at work, I'm doing obeying Allah, because I'm doing it for this reason, this worthy cause. So I'm actually working for the hereafter and I'm remembering Allah. Then there's higher levels of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the imma, yes, the lover of Allah, when the remembrance of Allah inspires his heart, then he continues to remember Allah in his heart even when he's in his transactions. Now when we see, we said the saying, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I don't see anything except that I see Allah before it, with it and after it. Because the imams, Imam Ali says, when the dhikr has polished the heart, like we said, then they see after being blind. So he sees the signs of Allah everywhere he looks. This is the highest form of the remembrance of Allah. So there's levels of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Time for one final question from the ladies, if we have one.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What is the significance of the numbers that they have? Especially I'm referring to the book of Qunut, where the names of Allah, right. And you say, if you recite this so many times, this will happen. What is the significance of the numbers?
Right. Personally, I'm not very... I haven't delved into this field of the looking at the numbers. But what it is they look at the letters in Arabic, and each letter represents a number. When they look at the alphabet, the Abjadiya alphabet, and each letter represents a number, so they calculate. You know, some people, there's a science of calculating through numbers, and they derive through that the number of times that is recommended to do this name for this specific thing. Now, this is a very expertise science, which certain people have the knowledge of, and personally, I haven't really even read properly into this, so I feel that I cannot answer your question properly, you know. But basically, this is the gist of it, is that there's a science of numbers and letters, and through this they calculate certain things, and they come to ways of how many times you can do this for this specific thing. And they're spiritual doctors.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My brothers and sisters, I take you now to the afternoon on that day of Ashura, at a time when the thirst of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has intensified. So he climbs onto his horse and moves towards the Furat with Hazrat Abbas, Sayyid Abbas, Abu al-Fadl in front of him. But as they move, they get obstructed by the horsemen of Ibn Sa'd. And one man throws an arrow, and it hits into the palate of our holy Imam, into his throat and near his palate. And the Imam pulls out the arrow and places his hands onto his chin to contain the blood, which is overflowing onto his holy body until it covers his entire hands.
قال الراوي واشتد العطش بالحسين عليه السلام فركب المنصات يريد الفرات والعباس أخوه بين يديه فاعترضتهما خيل بن سعد فرمى رجل من بني دار من الحسين عليه السلام بسهم فأثبته في حنكه الشريف فانتزع عليه السلام السهم وبسط يديه تحت حنكه حتى امتلأت راحتاه من الدم.
Imam then threw the arrow away and looked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looked to the heavens and said, O Allah, I complain to you for what these people have done to the son of your holy prophet. And at this moment, he was separated from his brother Abbas.
وَقَالَ أَللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَشْكُو إِلَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أشكو إليك ما يفعل بابن بنت نبيك ما يفعل بنت بابن بنت نبيك.
A narrator narrates that Abbas alayhi salam had gone to the water to fill the water for those thirsty children, and at one moment he was about to drink and sip that cool sweet water. But this was a warrior of Allah, and he stopped and remembered the thirst of those children and the thirst of his brother. How could he drink before them? He narrates, Abbas filled the water skin and hung it on his right shoulder and started his return to the tents. The soldiers surrounded him from all directions. He single-handedly tried to fight them off as he surged towards the tents. Abbas continued to fight until either Nawfal or Zayd bin Warqa, who was hiding behind a tree, struck at Abbas's right arm, severing it from the elbow. Abbas quickly moved the water skin to his left shoulder as he recited, "By Allah, even if you cut off my right arm, I will forever defend my religion." And the Imam, "That is truly from the lineage of the Messenger, the pure, the trustworthy." He continued fighting and killed many of the renowned swordsmen of the enemy. Some have reckoned that 855 soldiers were killed by Abbas on this occasion. Abbas continued to fight his way to the tents. As he was fighting, Hakim ibn Tufail, who had also hidden himself behind the tree, struck at Abbas's left arm and cut it off from the elbow. At this, Abbas recited the following, "O soul, do not fear the disbelievers. Take the glad tidings of the Almighty to the Messenger, the chosen Lord. Through their transgression they have cut my left hand. O Lord, drive them into the heat of the fire." Abbas struggled as he grabbed the water skin with his teeth in a final attempt to get to the water to the thirsty children. In the shower of arrows, spears and stones, an arrow pierced the water skin, causing it to burst open. Another struck his blessed chest, causing him to fall from his horse. Another narrator says, "Despite the fact that Abbas's arms were so badly cut that they were hanging in dripping blood, he once again rode into the enemy ranks. Finally, he was struck on the head with an iron mace that split it open and he fell to the ground. As he trembled in his blood, Abbas cried out, 'O my brother, O Hussein, accept my final salutations.' Hussein came rushing to his brother and wept bitterly as he called out, 'O brother, O Abbas, O soul of my heart, O for destruction after you, O Abbas, now my back has been broken. My means of release has been devastated and my hopes have been cut short.' And Hussein wept with a severe weeping. فَبَكَى الْحُسَيْنُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لِقَتْلِهِ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا فَبَكَى الْحُسَيْنُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لقتله بكاء شديدا." A poet says, "The worthiest of people to be cried upon is a youth for whom Hussein himself cried, his brother and the son of his father Ali, Abul Fadl, the one soaked in blood and the one who assisted him, allowing nothing to divert him thereby, and refused to drink water since Hussein was still thirsty." أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَن تُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَن يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ فَتًى أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ بِكَرْبَلَا أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَن يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ فَتًى أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ بِكَرْبَلَا أخوه وابن والده علي أخوه وابن والده علي أبو الفضل المدرج بالدماء المدرج بالدماء ومن واساه لا يثنيه شيء وجادله على عطش بماء وَجَادَلَهُ عَلَىٰ أَطَشٍ بِمَا السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا الْفَضْلِ الْعَبَّاسِ ابْنِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكَ عليكم منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد من زيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.